This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Pete Zimmerman produces the show, and Terry Savage joins us in studio when she can. Today is one of those days. Hello, Terry.
I love it. Love being in here.
Nationally syndicated financial columnist at terrysavage.com. By the way, just dovetailing off of what Steve was talking about in the news, so Rivian Public, are you surprised by the numbers you're hearing?
No. It's very interesting. Rivian came public. The pricing initially was $78 a share. It opened at $106.75. It's bounced around a little bit. There's a kind of a tradition of, and you wonder, why didn't the owners, if they knew there was going to be so much demand, why didn't they price it at $100? They leave some on the table to keep the market enthused and frothed, and that's happened. But what really matters is what's it like next week or next month, what happens to the price? There was a new study out, I wish I could remember all the details, that a year later or 6 months later, 50% of them were trading at or below their initial offering price, even though they may have jumped initially. So Rivian is interesting. It's an electronic vehicle maker. It's in the same space as Tesla. Tesla sort of has a head start. But as you pointed out to me, John, I didn't realize their plant is in Normal, Illinois.
Yeah.
So they're going to be turning out cars. Ford's going to be buying them. Ford's conflicted because they also compete with Rivian. So one day they're going to take their profits, $7 billion on their investment. So this isn't an open and shut case that the stock goes straight up. I mean, there's a lot to it.
I would rather buy Portillo's stock than Rivian stock because I know what a sandwich is and I don't know much about electric vehicles, but it sure does seem like that space is legit, right? Like,
oh, it's happening. It's no doubt happening. I remember my son, I was giving a speech to a group of pros and I just said, you know what? You need to hear from my son who's in the business. I'm never allowed to say.
The business of?
Financial. He's very sophisticated guy, and I'm never allowed to say his name, what company he works for, what
okay.
he does. That's
right.
My deal with him. But this was probably about 7-8 years ago, and he said, looked at me like, what do you want me to say? I said, all right, I'll tell you what I think. I think my daughters, that's my granddaughters, who are now 11, but they were probably 3 at the time, will never drive a gasoline-powered car. I heard that, and I went, really? Because 7-8 years ago, it was such a dream. And here it is, very much a reality. Amazon invested in Rivian, and they're going to buy a fleet of electric vehicles for deliveries. So we're moving there very quickly.
Hertz is going to buy 100,000 of them.
We're moving there quickly, and the fleets will do it. It makes sense for them in a bunch of ways because they can charge up officially at a place. It making more and more sense for people to do it. And so
part of the infrastructure bill, too, includes subsidizing charging stations.
Exactly.
So it really is coming. And, you know, it's funny because I thought when they make the movies about the auto industry, it's cutthroat and they continue to pound through gasoline-powered cars. But it seems inevitable that gasoline-powered cars will fade and that the big three will be making electric cars someday, too.
And there was always
exclusively
sort of a sense of the establishment
yes.
was the big oil companies
yes.
and the big auto companies, and they would never break apart because electric technology has been around for a while. I remember Boone Pickens in an interview, God, that was a long time ago, telling me that there will be that I think he was talking about the whole city of Houston, maybe was it, or Dallas, was going to go take their fleets of garbage trucks and everything and make them electric. He said, the big thing is going to be whoever creates a national network of electric charging stations.
No kidding.
Yeah, this was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
he's
well,
long
I
gone.
Guess that's how you get to be Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
You know,
he was an oil guy, though.
Yeah.
He was an oil guy who told me that the future was electric cars and that the need was for charging stations that would be appropriate. At that time, I think you needed special equipment to charge them.
My question is, though, so when Rivian goes public, and it's interesting you intimate that maybe what they do is they intentionally underprice it because then everybody says, wow, it went from 70 to 110. What a great company. What a great stock. When maybe they knew all along a more realistic IPO would have been 100. But the average investor, knowing this jump is probably going to happen, doesn't get a chance to get in on that, do they?
So this is the thing. The initial public offering, if it's done that way in the traditional IPO sense, works through a number of the Wall Street major brokerage firms. And unless your brother is the CEO of one of these large firms, those initial shares get placed with mutual funds who do a lot of business with them, mm-hmm. with big hedge funds that do a lot of trading business through these firms. So the idea that you could call your broker at XYZ firm or at Robinhood even,
yeah.
and get in at the $78 price or the IPO price, you got very, very slim chances. Your first chance is when it opens. And then the question is, okay, it's up 10% or 12% or whatever it might be. Do I want to get in then? Do I want to wait until it backs off? Do I want to say I own it? That's why, despite the democratization of trading through firms that let you start with a little bit of money, that give you online access, this IPO process so far is still tilted in favor of the big firms that distribute the initial public stock.
Do you know anybody who bought Apple originally? You know, like, maybe not the IPO, but if you bought it 10, 20 years ago, good Lord, and hung
exactly.
on to it, you'd be told.
I'll tell you something. I'm not good at that, but I bought Amazon that long, almost that long ago. I can't remember what the date was. But I'll tell you exactly when it happened. The first time I realized that Amazon didn't only sell books, mm-hmm. so you think how far back that was. I went, wait, what? And I still have that, and I never look at it.
You still have those shares?
I still have those shares, yeah.
I
didn't buy enough, of course. I should have bought 10,000 shares.
I expect they're worth more now than they were.
Oh,
then.
Yes.
That's Terry Savage. Okay, 312-981-7200. The phone lines are ringing. Enough about that. What about you? You've got a question that maybe Terry can help you with. 312-981-7200 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry, you're here for the hour. I want to get to some calls and some texts, but I know you just wanted to give me your headline on inflation. Is it as bad as, is it getting worse? What are you feeling?
Inflation is the headline, the financial headline. Surprising even those who knew it would be up because we had wholesale producer prices up yesterday. And
at 6.2%.
It's 6.2% year over year. So, and it's not stopping now. I mean, look at energy prices, oil over $84 a barrel. Remember about 18 months ago, it was at zero oil, you know, because the world stopped and there was a ton of supply and nobody wanted to take delivery and pay for storage. So think what a turnaround it's been as the world reopened. Energy prices contribute to everything, not just the cost of driving to work, but producing food and distributing everything. So we're going to see prices continue to rise. I think, remember, there is a few words that go to economics heaven. Federal Reserve section. One of them was irrational exuberance, and the other one is going to be transitory inflation.
Yeah.
So, and one other thing, think about this. We've been so kind of, I've been pleased to see, you know, people are getting higher wages because there's a demand for labor and so forth, or if you get a 4% wage increase. But if inflation is running at 6%, what good does your 4% wage increase do? And yes, there's a whole crowd out there. I will point this out. Those of us who have what I call chicken money, money in the bank, for safety, because you just don't want to put this portion at risk, you have been getting, can I say screwed, on the air by the Federal Reserve pushing interest rates down. Now, I think interest rates should start to climb. I think the Fed.
You've been getting screwed by the Federal Reserve pushing interest rates
right,
down.
Right, sure, because of inflation 6% and your CD is earning not even a half of 1%.
Boy, that ship is so sailed for us.
Me?
We don't even think about that. That is so not a headline. Pardon me. That is not today.
Oh, no, it's been happening for the last 2 years.
I know that, but people have not been concerned about the fact that their passbook savings account don't earn any interest. That's already baked into people's calculations.
No, everybody's concerned.
All my friends are concerned.
You out there listening.
I wish, I'm among them. I wish there was a safer place to put money that I guaranteed some insured
growth. So now you're a guaranteed loss of about 5%. So
because
you're seeing it happen in the marketplace.
Because
rates
people have not been as concerned about inflation either. You know, all the headlines have been about the low interest rates. Low interest rates.
Right.
Hooray, low interest rates. I can get a car. I can get a house. That's what people have been clicking their heels
exactly.
over. And what you are telling us, I think, has been lost in the news. People have come to accept that there's no guaranteed safe place to put your money.
Yeah, but once, see, this becomes so, you're right, it becomes so obvious now. You've got inflation running at 6% year over year. And your one-year CD is paying a half of 1%.
Yeah.
So the Fed got away with this for a while when you weren't worried of, oh, well, inflation's only 2%. We can't even get it up to 2%. Now it's a clear loser. And I beg you, don't go racing into risky things that offer higher yields now after you've kept it safe for all this time. I do believe in a real world that interest rates will now have to pop up, despite the Fed probably.
So where's the safe place for money now then?
Safe Place is where you're losing 5% a year for the moment.
That's what I'm thinking.
You just talk about it in 3 months. I really believe that the 10-year Treasury is still only, just a little over 1.5%. The Fed's been pumping money into this economy. They just said they're going to start sucking it out, or stop putting so much in. Pretty soon they're going to say we're going to have to deal with inflation. And I think I can't believe rates haven't gone up before now.
Okay, but the best place is maybe a better way to put that question. Maybe there's no perfect safe place.
Well, my hedge has always been gold. It's up $50 an
ounce
today.
I thought you were going to say just continue to bank on the markets.
The stock market over the long run always beats inflation. And where is all this money going when it's a sure loser to put it in the bank?
Yes.
It's been going into the stock market. I don't see that stopping anywhere soon.
Well, there you are.
But question is, when you have the safest place, there will be a moment. There always is a moment. I was early in 1999, with the 2000, before the 2000 bubble. Money's still flowing into the market. Remember Dr. Bob Frelich? Well, we had him on before.
401k.
The Cubs season, 401k. Dow will be 40,100. I talked to him. He said, look, we're doing the January Executive Club Economic Forecast. I'm still sticking with Dow 40,100.
And by the end of the year.
By the end of the year. And here we are. I mean, we're only 500 points, 600 points away.
No, wait a minute. It's at 36.
The Dow is now, as we speak, at 36,155.
36,000 or 3,600?
36,000. The Dow, not the S&P. So let's call the Dow at 36,000.
Right.
So okay, to 40,000. Is
4,000 plus.
Yeah, that's, well, the way the market's moved.
Hey, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. Here's a question for you, Terry.
Okay.
Let's pick up a couple of phone lines.
All right.
Taking too much of our listeners' time.
Okay.
Ted, you're on WGN Radio. Ted, get us started. You're on the air.
Hey, Terry, want to ask you a question about my RMD. I'm required to take an RMD, and my current RMD, because of the way the stock market is going, has greatly increased from where it was 4 years ago. What I'm thinking of doing is taking charitable deductions directly from my Fidelity RMD, hopefully to lower the amount that I take out in the amount or that I'll have to pay in taxes.
No, because your RMD is based on the value of your account last year at year end. Remember, the year before, we didn't have an RMD. So this RMD is based, and that's why I always say keep your year-end statements. The one you're supposed to have taken throughout 2021, or for sure in the next, 5-6 weeks, is based on the value of your accounts at the year-end last year. And everybody this year, keep your year-end December statement, because sometime during the year in 2022, but surely a year from now, you'll have to take an RMD based on this year-end. Now, you can make charitable donations with certain restrictions out of your IRA without paying income taxes. So if you want to give $10,000 to breast cancer research, or my favorite charities, you don't have to take it out and pay income taxes on the $10,000 and give them the $5,000 or $6,000 that's left. You can make a contribution to a recognized charity directly out, but that does not count against your RMD.
Okay, good question, good answers. Terry Savage is in our studio today for the full hour. Terry, all the phone lines are ringing.
Okay,
can we take some calls?
Yes.
We go next to Christine. You're on WGN. Christine, how can we help you?
Hi, I'm actually calling on behalf of my sister. She's in a nursing home. She's on Medicaid, public aid Medicaid. The question is, do we have to have Medicaid and Medicare policies? I can't get a definitive answer anywhere.
Well, no, if she qualifies for Medicaid, and that's based on income, and the numbers change every year, but assuming she doesn't have suddenly a jump in income for some particular reason, she doesn't need Medicare, because Medicaid will take care of all of her expenses and pay the nursing home as well.
From what we have to pay.
Yeah, she might have, if she qualified for Social Security, she could be on Medicare. She just doesn't need, I'm just trying to think about this. She doesn't need to pay for Part B of Medicare if, in fact, she is qualified for Medicaid.
But what about a supplement plan?
She doesn't need a supplement plan because Medicaid is designed for people who cannot afford to pay those premiums for Part B and for the supplement.
C and D too.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, and it covers the medications as
sure.
well.
And you know what you should do
Which
is you should check with the administrators of the facility that she's in to make sure that her status is fully on Medicaid and make sure that she is not supposed to be receiving or paying for any form of Medicare, either Part B or a supplement or even drugs. This is not my area of greatest expertise, so I just want you to double check with the nursing home administrators.
It's a good question, though, Christine, and at least it's a good start. And I know a lot of you are dealing with those because we are in the election phase right now. Nancy, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Nancy?
Okay, Norm's going to ask.
Hello, this is Norman responding to Nancy's call.
Okay, you're on the air, Norm. What's your question?
All right. We own a house, which is, and the deed in trust is in Nancy's name only. And we want to know that if we were to sell the house, if I would be eligible for the $250,000 deduction.
No, you would not. The person whose name is on the deed, it's just like you're living with her. I mean, I think you're married, but that doesn't... Well, let me just think about that. If you're married and file a joint return... Boy, this is really technical. If you're, are you married to her?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to consult a CPA, because if you weren't married, then there, even though you were living there, you would have a $250,000 exclusion from the gains tax. But if you're married and file a joint return, that's pretty iffy, and I can't give you a good answer. I don't want you to depend on that answer. I want you to talk to a CPA. On a joint return, the return allows you to exclude $500,000 of capital gains, and the presumption is that the home was in joint name. But I'm not, I just don't, I want you to talk to a tax expert on that.
The CPA would be in order. Also, just to, here's a shout out to Peck Ritchie. Carrie Peck is an attorney who deals with elder law and the machinations of trusts and wills. This is a question about a will, but he's very good at that too, and his website is peckritchie.com.
And let me add something. You could be in an awkward situation if you don't have an estate plan, because instead of a deed in trust, what you want to do is retitle. There's no tax, no big deal. Call Carrie Peck or an estate planning attorney to create a revocable living trust.
Yeah.
Retitle the house in the name of that revocable living trust, because it does two things. You automatically then inherit without any problems if one of the other passes on. And if one of the other becomes incapacitated, the other one can take over making decisions. So you probably really, not more than a CPA, you need an estate planning expert, because at this stage of life, you'd rather have your home and all major assets retitled into the name of your revocable living trust. No tax consequences for doing that.
So find that person, and just if you didn't get to the website, it's peckritchie.com. Hey, John Williams, I'm 60 years old. This is a question, of course, for Terry, and finally got a job that offers a 401k. I figured I'll be working another 5 to 7 years. Should I participate in it? The company matches what you put in.
Oh, absolutely. That's a no. That one's the easiest question to answer I've had. Put in the max. Even if you don't see it in your paycheck, you won't miss it. Just like Social Security, they're taking that out. And you are giving up free money if you don't contribute at least enough to get the full company match. That's free money you'd be walking away from if you don't. So ask your HR department, how much do I have to contribute? And to get the company match, and don't say I can't afford it. You can't afford not to.
Dennis, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Dennis.
Yes. My question to Terry was, the government is supposed to be running out of money on the 3rd of December. What does Terry think? Do they think that they're going to get an extension again?
That's one of those here we go again questions. They talk about the kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what they did. A couple of months ago, they agreed to fund the government into early December. So you're going to sit down at your Thanksgiving dinner, and then you're going to collapse into a coma watching football. And when you wake up, Congress will be back in Washington fighting it out again. They always do something.
Yeah.
They'll probably have to have another continuing resolution to fund all those federal agencies through 2022. And you have an interesting change of power now because of the Virginia governorship race. Democrats had, a very thin majority. They might not have, and of course with Manchin and Sistema and so forth, it might not be such a standoff this time. I think that probably they'll come to an agreement on a continuing resolution.
It's 1243, 312-981-7200. Lots more calls and text messages for Terry. You could be one of them. But let's continue on the Wintrust Business Lunch with this report from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. New grades are in from the nonprofit Leapfrog Group, and fewer Illinois hospitals have earned A grades. The report card includes several C's and at least one F for a Chicago hospital. 29% of more than 100 Illinois hospitals have been graded with A's. That's down from 35% from the group's spring grading. Rush University Medical Center and University of Chicago Medical Center both earned A grades, the 20th consecutive A for U of C. Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood and Northwestern Memorial in Chicago both earned grades of C. The only Illinois hospital to earn an F grade was St. Bernard Hospital and Health Center in the Englewood neighborhood. The new grades come as hospitals treat significant numbers of COVID-19 patients while struggling with staffing shortages and rising costs. The report card measures several metrics, including falls and trauma, hospital-acquired infections, hand hygiene, and death rates among surgical patients with serious treatable conditions. A research collaboration between drug maker AbbVie and the University of Chicago has been extended through 2025. The partnership has already led to new cancer drug delivery approaches. Cranes reports the move is designed to accelerate and advance medical research in oncology. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
With the business of food, here's Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. Our Blackhawks pre- and post-game host Joe Brand joins the business of food today. He posted a video on Twitter in which he used a couple of unusual words.
We'll also be giving away another Boyke's prize pack. Get yourself some free biltong.
I'll get to biltong in a minute, but what's a Boyke?
That's the equivalent of calling someone your buddy or your good friend.
That's Jim Mullins, who came upon the term Boyke a lot when he was living in South Africa. His family food company in Chicago opened an office there after apartheid ended.
We make sauces and condiments for the fast food industry leaders.
The family business was sold a few years ago, and he decided he was too young to do nothing, so he decided to sell biltong. All right. What's biltong?
It's the equivalent of what we have in the States. Here it's called jerky, but biltong is a much softer, tender product. It's much more palatable. It's like eating a piece of steak.
And how did the connection to the Blackhawks come about?
My partner actually in the business is a guy named Tim Stapleton.
If you're a big hockey fan, you'll know that Stapleton grew up in LaGrange and played hockey for many years in the NHL and Russia and got to know Jim on a golf course, and one thing led to another.
The Blackhawks have been using our product, and the nutritionist said this is what our players should be eating after practice or before practice when they need that energy. It's quite a compliment, and we're very proud of it. So we're not only doing it for the Blackhawks, we're also right now the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, that's great. How do the rest of us who don't happen to play for the Blackhawks or the Ducks get your biltong?
You can buy it on our website, Boikeys, so boikeys.com. And it's also available on Amazon.
Jim Mullins of Boyke's Biltong. By the way, that's what he and his wife named their dog, Boyke. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn is up 3% right now, about 16 cents higher, $5.71 a bushel. Beans are up about let's call it a nickel right now, at $12.18. And wheat is up 24 cents at $8.02.5. From the farm to your belly, today is National Vanilla Cupcake Day, also known as patty cakes and fairy cakes. Enjoy, Boyke. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry, a couple more questions from our listeners. Are you ready to roll?
Absolutely.
Okay. John, it is your turn next. You're on WGN. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hey.
I've been contemplating and trying to determine if it would be worth doing Roth conversions at my age of 66. And I've not collecting Social Security, I don't plan on to until later. And I know when I do hit the age for RMDs, it will definitely put me into a higher tax bracket.
That's the reason, John, that people do consider converting some, not necessarily all, of their IRA to a Roth. Now, here are the two things to consider, and each person is different, but you've pointed out some of the things. When you do that conversion, you need to pay the taxes immediately, and it helps if you have money outside your IRA to pay the taxes. Otherwise, you have to take more than you intended out of the IRA, and only can to pay the taxes that you need. So that's number one. Number two, I always say, don't do the Roth conversion when the market's at a peak. Wait till stocks are low, because you're going to pay taxes on those gains. And then if the market declines, you know, you'll be sorry you paid taxes up there. But really, this is part of an entire financial plan. You're obviously thinking along the right track. You've touched on the right issues, whether you have the money, whether it's going to pop you into a higher tax bracket, whether taking those withdrawals is not only going to put you in a higher tax bracket, but a higher bracket for Medicare Part B, which can be painful. You need some financial planning advice from someone who's not trying to sell you something. And for though, I'm so glad people always say, "Wait, give me a name. Give me two names. I've got, you know, give me a couple of names." Go to WealthRamp, WealthRamp.com. My co-podcaster, we have a podcast called FriendsTalkMoney.org. You can see our podcast there. Pam Kruger created WealthRamp. She's like kindred spirit to me, wanting to help people. She finds carefully vetted, fee-only, no selling stuff, fiduciary financial planners, and she matches you up with them. It's like Match.com with the world's greatest matchmaker. So go to WealthRamp.com. You need to think about a lot of things, and just the conversion part is just a part of your whole planning for income and retirement.
Right. I had thought about that, too, and the amount I was planned on converting every year would be just to the point where it wouldn't drive me into the IRMA territory.
Perfect. That's really important. There are probably some other things you should be thinking about, but if you've got your estate planning and your income planning done for retirement, then by all means, spend the next couple of years. And then the other question is, which everybody's saying, why didn't you mention tax rates? Will tax rates go up? It depends on your income level, but probably next time around there'll be a tax increase. So one of the good times to do it is when you think taxes are low. So doing a little bit every year with paying the taxes with money you've got outside makes sense to have a portion of your money in an after-tax, tax-free growth from that point
right,
on.
Right, right.
And that's a Roth.
That's John, good question. John, thanks for the call. Hey, Jerry, what can we do for you? You're on WGN.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to touch on a point earlier on using part of the or all of the RMD's required distributions to contribute to a charity. And as I understand it, if I wanted, let's say my RMD's are $50,000 for this year, if I wanted to give $30,000 to charity, then that I would still have to take out another $20,000, but that would satisfy the RMD, the charitable contributions count toward that RMD. Is that your understanding, Terry?
My understanding is you can donate all or a portion of your RMD directly to the charity. Okay?
Right. So what portion?
Up to $100,000.
So,
I think is the limit.
It is, okay. Yes. Your charitable, you can contribute your RMD to a charity directly, and you don't pay taxes on that money because it went right to a charity. And so if you had stock in your IRA that you bought at a low price and don't want to pay taxes on it as ordinary income when you take it out, well, then you can do that direct contribution.
Thanks for the phone call. 630 said, I'm 52 and have been funding my 401k at 25% contribution for 30 years. Does it make sense to cut back to my company's match and start funding a Roth IRA with the dollars? That's a 52-year-old.
Yeah, there are limits on funding a Roth IRA with your dollars, so you want to check on that. But what you're asking me is it better to have some after-tax money? So the fact of the matter is, yes, you should always contribute up to the company match. And if you're eligible to contribute additional money to a Roth, fine, because that's going to grow tax-free.
Right.
But even if not, you should carefully balance the money you hold outside of your retirement accounts in your personal account.
You wanted to say something about Obamacare? We have 1 minute left.
Oh, okay. This is really important. I just posted a column at TerrySavage.com. We talked about Medicare open enrollment a week or two ago. Got to do it, must do it, prescription drugs. Beware of those Advantage plans. Read the fine print. If you work for a corporation, now is the time they're saying to you, do you want a health savings account and a high deductible plan? I talk about that. But if you don't have health insurance and you're making some money or you have some assets, you do not want to have an uninsured event. And this year, as part of what they did back last February with the stimulus, they raised the subsidies for Obamacare plans, the health care Right. Mm-hmm. And they lower and they raise the income limitations for you to qualify. So go to terrysavage.com. On the left-hand side, my latest column, there's a link right there to go to healthcare.gov and view, depending on where you live and your income, what kind of a subsidy you might be eligible for that you could apply to a bronze, silver, or gold plan. But don't let this opportunity pass you by. There are too many people walking around without insurance.
Don't leave it on the table. That's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Thank you, Terry Savage.
Thank you.